You're listening to Mary's Touch Radio. Our program is entirely listener-supported through generous donations from listeners like you. Discover and explore our entire archive of inspirational content at marystouch.org. And thank you for your support.
Mary's Touch, real life stories of Mary's love.
I really do feel that Mary had a role in bringing me back to the Catholic Church.
He reminded me that Mary was my mom.
I always felt upon if I needed a desperate prayer, I always called to Mary.
I could see that Mary had a hand in this.
She began to speak to my heart.
Mary's Touch, real life stories of Mary's love.
Hi, this is Sherry Lamonte.
And I'm Father Jim Evans.
Welcome to Mary's Touch, the show that brings you real-life stories of Mary's love. You're listening to and learning about Mary, the mother of Jesus. In this year, 2016, Mary's Touch is celebrating its 10th anniversary. We have been broadcasting Mary's Touch once a week since 2006. You have heard over 850 stories about Mary's love, her grace, and her mercy. Every show was a testament about Mary and the fact that she takes us right to her Son, Jesus. We want to thank all of our storytellers for sharing some of their most profound moments with us.
Well, Sherry, Mary's Touch stories are from real life. And the stories relate the experiences of people who, in unique and desperate situations, have invoked the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary and received her help in many ways. In celebration of our anniversary, we have taken 10 of our stories and now, in a little different way, present them one at a time over the next 10 months as our gift to you. Thank you for your patronage of all these years and for sharing what is most dear to your hearts.
In our gift of stories, I will summarize a story that was shared with us, and then Father Jim will reflect on that story. Our second gift to you is the first story in a long journey of Sherry Davis. In 4 separate interviews, Sherry shared her journey, her cross with us. Let me start by telling you about Sherry Davis. She was not raised with any faith. She was raised to fear God, but she knew nothing about the Bible and certainly nothing about Mary. Sherry's story started when she was pregnant with her last child, Madison, and I think she was about 5 or 6 months pregnant. And she lost her voice. Sherry woke up one morning and had no voice. She went to the doctors and had many tests done, and no one could figure out why her vocal cords were not touching. For 2 years, Sherry couldn't talk. She could only whisper. But I thought, wow, in her lifestyle, how hard would that be? Because she was in real estate, and she was very career-oriented. Without a voice, she couldn't use a phone, and you know, in real estate, your whole business is talking on the phone and talking to people. Lots of times she had to write what she would say. And it was during that year that in Sherry's heart, she started having a great love of the Blessed Mother. Though she only knew her by name, Mary, and she knew that she was a part of the Nativity set, and that was about it. Over that 2-year period, Sherry told me that Mary began to speak to her heart and to teach her and become very real in her life. For 2 years, Sherry read many, many books on theology, on Mary, Jesus, and the Catholic Church. It was a time filled with lots of grace. A gift of wisdom was given to Sherry, and she understood the doctrine of the Church. At first, she was very embarrassed by religion, so she hid it. She hid her knowledge from her husband and her children. She would wait until her husband left for work and her kids were off at school, and then she would read and read and read. One day she felt Our Lady calling her to pray the rosary, so she went out and bought one. Sherry would have conversations with Mary and ask her, "If you want me to pray the rosary, Mary, you'll have to teach me how." Sherry felt that Mother Mary did just that. She opened her heart and guided each of her words. Years later, at age 37, Sherry was baptized and came into the church with all the sacraments. She said it was so beautiful, and she never thought she could love anyone as much as she loved our Blessed Mother. Over the years, Mary prepared Sherry. She told her about her son, and then one day she gave her to the church. And Sherry said, "I actually felt Mother Mary pull back a little." She would say that Mary is always there for her, but Mary's only goal, her reason for being, is to lead us closer to her son, and that is exactly what happened to Sherry Davis. In May that year, Sherry had an opportunity to spend 3 beautiful weeks with her son in Italy. He lived in a beautiful religious community for drug addicts. It was a life of work and prayer. She joined the community 3 times a day to say the rosary. A few weeks before she left on her trip, Sherry began to cough, a simple dry cough. And just like all of us, if you're planning on going on a trip, she went to the doctor, got an antibiotic, and then got on the plane. While she was gone, Sherry's cough got worse and worse. And actually, the night she returned from Italy, her husband Mark took her straight to the emergency room because she was finding it difficult to breathe. The next day, Sherry was diagnosed, hospitalized, and began chemotherapy. She had lung cancer. Sherry considered her cancer a gift. She told me God had given her this cross because he loved her and because this is part of the plan. Sherry did cry, but she didn't cry for herself. She cried because she felt that maybe she wouldn't have the time to prepare her family for her death. From the day she was diagnosed with small cell lung cancer, from the moment she learned she was ill, Sherry offered her suffering as a prayer for others, while looking to Mary as an example. She believed that God is a truly loving and forgiving Father, that faith is a priceless gift, and that suffering need not be in vain. When I think of Sherry's story, I think of Matthew 16, verses 24 and 25. "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For he that will save his life will lose it, and he that shall lose his life for my sake shall find it." Father, your reflection.
Well, Sherry, as we think about the human condition and upon specific people within that condition, which basically is those that we know or those we heard of, and of course we know our own stories. And so we take those and we relate them to others because that's part of human nature. So we hear a story like Sherry Davis, and we know that she had a life before she started studying on her own, reflecting. She started a prayer life. But what got her there, in a way, you might compare it to St. Paul on his road to Damascus when he encountered the risen Jesus. And through that encounter, he was struck blind. He heard a voice, and that voice told him what to do with the rest of his life. And from that, he took that story, and he went forward. Sherry lost her voice. She couldn't speak. She whispered. And we ask ourselves, my goodness, well, you know, what happened? Was that just some kind of a freak little biological thing that happened, and somehow or the other, all she could do was whisper. Well, whenever I think of Sherry Davis whispering, I'm reminded of the old song, Whispering Hope. And in that, the words are something to the effect, if I don't get them just right, forgive me. Soft as the voice of an angel, breathing a lesson unheard, hope with its gentle persuasion, whispers her comforting word. Whispering hope. And that hope seems to have overcome Sherry. And out of that experience, and 2 years later, after spending time reflecting on what had happened to her, what did her life have to offer others? What did her life mean? Where was she in the overall scheme of things? Now, I don't know about all of those thoughts I just threw out because I wasn't there with Sherry when all of this was happening. No one was, apparently. She was in her own world with our Lord. And out of that, she reached out and she started on the rosary. I don't know, I should say started, but she certainly encountered the rosary and she took it into her life. It became part of her life. It became part of what she did daily. It became, therefore, part of who she was. And out of that introspection that she turned into a prayer life and into a study program, evolved the new Sherry, the one who, after 2 years, regained her voice, although it was never very strong. It was always a weakened voice with a strong message. And as she poured forth that message, the people around her saw someone who was on fire with the love of the Holy Family, with Jesus, the Son of Mary, with Mary through the rosary, with all of the mysteries that are revealed to each and every one of us as we pray the rosary. And as we look at the events of the earthly life of Jesus, her son, and then we look at those things which happened in the glorious mysteries when all of the heavens opened and new things were revealed to each and every one of us, new things were revealed to Sherry Davis. We don't know all of the details of those, but we do know that there have been many others in the past who have had similar experiences. And there's always a common thread, and the one is that connection to the divine, that thread of life that connects us to our very beginnings, and we are open to understanding that our Lord had no beginning, no end, the Alpha, the Omega. And God can look at us and say, as he did to others in Scripture, "Before you were, I knew you." So all of this comes into a plan that we cannot even begin to unravel in our own lives and our own hearts. Sherry did the best that she could, don't you think?
Oh, very much so. We did a total, I believe, of 4 recordings mm-hmm. with Sherry. And over that time, she had a little green book.
Uh-huh.
And she would ask anyone that she came in contact with, whether it was someone in a doctor's office or the nurse that was giving her her chemotherapy or the person who took her to the chemotherapy, or when I walked in the door, she'd hand me her green book mm-hmm. and she'd say, "I want you to put your prayer request in here and I will pray for you."
All right.
And literally, these weren't her words, but it was, "And when I'm suffering, I'm going to offer my suffering for you."
And she turned suffering into a gift. It's hard to do that, isn't it?
Yes, very much so. When she said she'd do that, the first time we met, I didn't put anything in the book. Mm-hmm. I thought, "Sherry, I want you to take all your energy and get better."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, convert your own suffering into something miraculous called a cure.
Yes.
And that cure did not come to Sherry.
It didn't.
But wonderful things came to people who encountered her. And out of that, I might, in my own imagination, see the gift of life pouring forth as it took hers. It inspired and instilled new life in others. So that you might say that from the dying came an enhanced form of living. And as that living took effect, we can look back and see St. Monica praying for her son, Augustine.
Sure. Sure, exactly.
And Sherry went off to Italy mm-hmm. to be with and to pray for her son. And I have no idea what his situation was or what happened to him afterwards or during. But I do know that she went and she offered once again love and solace. She was there. She entered into prayer. And once again, we do know that at least 3 times a day, and probably, unbeknownst to us, many times in between, prayer that involved a special devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary and an attempt to understand, know more about the love of God. And that's really it. You know, some people love to quote all of the facts and all of the histories of everything. And what they're really searching for is that love potion number 9 that is completely infused into every single act of creation. The love of God is always there. And so she sought it. And apparently, according to those things we know about her, she found it. But her life leading to it, we know very little about, and it doesn't matter to us. What matters is what she found and then what she shared.
And specifically what she shared, because I've never known anybody like that. I've never met anybody like that. I didn't live in the time of St. Augustine.
Right.
So I think that was what was so very unusual about Cherry, is that she was this example of total giving.
Yes.
Including her life.
And wanting to convey a message and wanting to let people know that God does intervene at all times in many different ways. And God's mercy and love is available and there. And it's up to us to accept it and to reveal it to ourselves first, or have it revealed to us and accept it so that we know there it is, and then to share it with others. And sharing, that's so funny when I say sharing, because Sherry is her name, and that's what's difficult with so many people. They don't know how to share. You know, we have these sayings about, you know, you witness to others.
Right.
And some people are, well, I might as well say it, they're obnoxious in their sharing and their witnessing. And there are others who can just absolutely make you feel warm and wonderful all over because their sharing and their witnessing is so real and so loving, and it's so non-forceful unless you feel the force within. It's not something that they try to cram down your throats,
right,
but something that is just a revelation to the person telling you about it. And this sort of thing is available for you too. Did you know that?
I think that's what was so special about it, is I didn't know her. She didn't know me before we started our talkings and our communications, and that I would be a part of this.
Yes.
And I think it was like really watching a miracle happen.
It is no secret what God can do, what he's done for others, he'll do for you.
Ah, thank you. Yes.
Nice. Another song.
There you go. Well, it even when we got started interviewing Cherry, she told me, which I thought was really kind of even cute. She said, you know, my family wants me to journal. And she said, I hate journaling.
Oh, well, you know, it's difficult to write.
Yes, very much so. And so she said, I said yes to you, for Mary's Touch, to hear my story and stories, because that would be my form of journaling.
Okay. Well, you know, it's interesting, this journaling concept. And I'm thinking of those people who came into the relationship with God through a tumultuous experience, such as the soldier priests and saints who have come to us. Even St. Francis of Assisi went through his military experience and capture and changed. He came back. St. Augustine went through his experience, not militarily, but certainly wildly. We have Lawrence, who was in the French military and became almost against his judgment and certainly his earlier inclinations, a priest and now a saint. We have all of these wonderful people who have gone through something to get there, and yet then we have the others like Saint Thérèse de Lisieux.
Mm-hmm.
Saint Thérèse was a gentle soul from birth. She lived a gentle life. She had loving parents who are now up for canonization. And all through her teenage years, she wanted to enter the life of the sisterhood, the nuns, and her sisters shared that love and shared that desire with her. And she, when she was old enough, actually she was a little too young, but they made an exception for her, and she entered in. And so you'd say, well, my goodness, I don't think we can even visualize Santa Teresa at a sock hop.
No. No, I have never pictured her like that. You're right.
She was always a gentle, loving, very religious soul. And while she was there, all she wanted to do was live a simple life. And now she's a doctor of the church. And she was told that she should write. You know, and she didn't want to. She didn't want to write. And here, Sherry Davis didn't want to journal.
No.
And these people who didn't want to write, didn't want to journal, they've turned out these marvelous introspective writings for us to see, to learn by, to come closer to a spiritual relationship with our Lord. And whatever the intercessory prayer might be, and whatever the way might be, it is always remarkable to me to see that Mary, the Mother of God, has played the largest and the most central role in so many lives, as Mary has led the way for people to open up to her Son, Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God, the Word made flesh, He who came into this world to save sinners. He said, I didn't call those who were already good. I came to call those who needed change. They needed to be saved. They needed the uplifting. And he did. He called. And it's that call that people like Sherry, I think, were reaching out to us through whatever means were available to her. And in a soft, gentle voice, she called out and said, the way is here, because Jesus said, I am the truth. I am the way. I am the life. And she believed it. She told others of that belief with sincerity and with gentleness, and yet with stubbornness, because she wasn't going to waver. And she would tell you that right up front.
Oh, I know. I know. One thing she told me, Father, that I'd like you to talk about, because it gave me such a start. She told me once, she said, you know, there's two sides to the cross.
Ah.
And I had never thought of that before she said it. And she felt like she was on the other side of Christ. I mean, obviously, this was years and years ago. And I just have never forgotten that.
Two sides to the cross. This is very, very true. And we see the outstretched arms that reached out to those who were sinners on the left and on the right, looking forward to His mother, to His beloved disciple, to the words that we have to this day. And behind the cross, what do you think was behind the cross? The multitudes? All of us? Was there room behind the cross for us to follow?
Well, there is now.
There is now. Should we take up that cross and follow?
Yes, I think that was her whole point.
And that strength comes not from within us, but because of the seed put there by our loving God. So the source is always God.
Yes.
Not us. We don't have that strength. But by our turning ourselves over, some people, and in fact, Scripture says, denying oneself. To deny oneself. Okay, to deny yourself what? You don't deny yourself the goodness, do you? You don't deny yourself time of prayer with God. You shouldn't anyhow, and we don't think so. And yet, that's a denial thing if you did, but it would also be real silly. But if we do deny those evil things, then we're strengthened in the good things. And so that which we have to deny within ourselves is obviously the bad things. And that may be why, for so many of us, one of our favorite prayers is the prayer of St. Michael, the archangel.
Oh,
defend us in battle.
Really? Every day?
That's right, yes. And no, you know, we used to end masses in lots and lots of churches with the prayer of St. Michael, the archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. And may God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. That's a very good prayer, my friends. It's one that I believe Sherry Davis approved of highly. Mm-hmm. Probably one that she prayed, although I cannot prove it. And it's certainly the idea that she took into her hearts because she quoted Scripture. She believed in the Scripture. She believed in the love of God. And even in suffering, she turned it into a gift. She told others about the love of God. And she named her suffering through her cancer as a gift from God. And she told people that it was a thing of beauty that could be shown to be there so that she might have turned from whatever was keeping her away from God in the past and show people the light that was ahead of her and go into it.
God rest her soul.
Indeed.
God rest her soul. Father, we need to do a Faith and Freedom.
Oh, let's do our friends at the Knights of Columbus.
Yes. So let's go from Sherry's beautiful story and your reflection, thank you, Father, to our Faith and Freedom Minute by Doug Olmixon, who is a part of the Knights of Columbus organization. Let's listen.
His integrity was most pure, his justice the most inflexible I have ever known. No motives of interest or consanguinity, of friendship or hatred, being able to bias his decision. He was indeed, in every sense of the words, a wise, a good, and a great man. This sounds like a description of someone declared to be a saint of the church, but these are the words of Thomas Jefferson in 1814, describing George Washington. Each of us could only hope to be referred to in such glowing terms. Jesus actually offered each of us a more aspirational description in Matthew chapter 25, when he relates the greeting awaiting each person who follows the path God has prescribed for us. Well done, good and faithful servant. As Catholics and as Knights of Columbus, we aspire to earn this description. Will you join us?
Thank you, Doug Olmixon, for that marvelous reflection and for reminding us of the goodness of the Knights of Columbus, a gift to this world. I hope many of the men and their families participate. And now, Sherry, as we go forth, the blessings of the saints fill us, and they're always there out of the love of God. And may that love of God bless each and every one of us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
This program is produced by Mary's Touch, a nonprofit corporation dedicated to bringing you the love of Mary and her son, Jesus. If you have questions, comments, or a story to share, write to us at Mary's Touch, P.O. Box 341991, Austin, Texas 78734, or email radio@marystouch.org. For more stories or to find out more about Mary, visit our website at marystouch.org.
You're listening to Mary's Touch Radio. Our program is entirely listener-supported through generous donations from listeners like you. Discover and explore our entire archive of inspirational content at marystouch.org. And thank you for your support.